All right. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. Miss Jennifer, can you hear me in your car over there? I don't know if she can hear. You got me? All right. There we go. She's going to sit in her car this morning. Make sure we got audio over there, Brantley. All right. Well, I want to open us in a word of prayer real quick. Let's pray, and then we'll get in the word quick this morning together. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the family that is gathered around this morning in your name. We pray that everyone is full physically. Father, we pray that even as we continue on today, that emotionally and spiritually, you continue to fill us up. And so all of these things are provision from you, Father. We thank you for that. We pray your blessings over this time, over each and every person that is here this morning. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So today, if you've been with us for a little while, we have been in the book of Ephesians, and we will wrap that up today. If you were here last week, Charlie Vifquin, if you don't know Charlie, you can just always look for the blue Kentucky shirt. He is in one. I think that is all he owns. I'm not quite sure of that, but I've never seen him in anything else. Have you, Brantley? Always Kentucky blue. So, but Charlie, even though he's a Kentucky fan, did a wonderful, wonderful job teaching on the armor of God. Who was here last week? Anybody remember that? Armor of God. How did it go this week? Arming up. Did anybody take God's words through Charlie and putting on the full armor of God? Man, that was so impactful for me that day and for the week. And so I hope we all took those words to heart. So previously, before Charlie had done that, we went into this section of Scripture, the closing part of Ephesians, and Paul is talking about this family dynamic. He talked about husbands and wives, closing out chapter 5. Then he talked about children and parents, and then Charlie went to the whole armor of God. We did so on purpose. We weren't skipping a section. We're coming back to that today. But he really felt led to teach on the armor of God. I wanted him to when I heard about just what God was laying on his heart. So we don't want to miss the part that we skipped over. We're going backwards. We're going to teach that today and then look at the final greetings or words that Paul has for the church of Ephesus and also for us. And so I want to go back from the armor of God where Charlie taught last week. Pick up there. Again, remember, this is a free-flowing letter, okay? I know that it has been said over this, but it's not like Paul sat down to write the church and said, okay, chapter 5, verse 1, I'm going to say that is for our benefit. He's writing a free-flowing letter to the church, and I believe knowing that it would be passed on to the broader church. And so he's just written about husbands and wives, children and parents. And now he's coming into a section of Scripture that I want to read in chapter 6, starting at verse 5. Here's what he says. I'm just going to read this part, and then we'll read the closing at the end. Here's what it says. Verse 5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same thing to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you speak through it today. Brantley and I just prayed together that even talking on a subject like this, that there is freedom in you, and that we are here this morning because, first off, we love you and we love one another. And so speak through that this morning. Speak through your love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion for us, that we are your family, that you are the head of this family, and that you love us, and that you died for us, Jesus, to set us free and set us free indeed. We love you, Jesus. We need you. If there was ever a time, we feel like we say this every week when new news breaks, If there was ever a time that we need you, Jesus, it is today, and we'll need you even more tomorrow. And so, Jesus, we just ask that you meet us in this place. Speak to our hearts wherever we're at this morning. We just pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I want to start at this passage and just be completely transparent with you. You start at the first word of today's passage and it says the word slaves. Immediately, I know this brings about just this feeling of like, oh man, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to hear about it. This is God's word. And here's what I want to say from the very jump. At no point in human history is slavery ever right. It has never been something God approves of. I have seen people take this passage and somehow try to twist and condone and say, well, Paul right here is writing about slaves and masters. It must be okay. Never has, never will. It is a human atrocity. But nevertheless, in this time frame, it was a reality that Paul was walking in. It was a reality of his life. And I believe that there is still good that we can get from this passage. But first from the jump, if you have to leave, know that at no point in human history, in our American history, in the world history, is this the way that God intended for it to be or stamped his approval on it. Never, ever, ever, okay? But there are good things in this passage. There are good things that we can glean from this passage. So I wanted to start there. And I want to take you back from right where we're at to the very beginning of chapter 5, verse 1. I want everybody to listen to me this morning. I believe that right now in human history, if there was ever a place that we need to start with chapter 5, verse 1, it is a time like today. Listen to what it says. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Do you know that there are people in our life, in our world, that make a living impersonating somebody? Anybody ever seen somebody that impersonates somebody? Elvis impersonator, anybody ever seen that? I've seen a horrible Elvis impersonator, and it was quite hilarious. But there are people that actually, they make their living by trying to look like someone, act like someone, talk like someone, or sing like someone. And Paul is reminding us that as believers, it is our job, our calling, our duty to be imitators of God. So here's what that means. That in some kind of small way, not perfectly by any stretch, but when people see me as a follower of Christ live my life, there ought to be some moments, not all the time. In fact, if you watch my life closely enough, there's going to be times where you think, man, that guy needs Jesus. And you are correct. I do. Amen. All right. I will cheers and toast to that. But there are points that someone ought to look at my life and say, man, that reminds me of somebody. Who does that remind me of? There ought to be points where it says, oh, man, that kind of looks like a little bit like this guy believes and has given his life to Jesus. It resembles something I've seen that looks like Christ. Again, not all the time, but it should be my goal, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what stage of life, that I should be imitating God as a beloved child. And listen to what it says after that. And walk in love. I want to tell you this morning, there's Jake whizzing in. I want to tell you this morning that if we just simply started there, if you've got nothing else, if you say, man, I can't really grasp this concept of God and, you know, living my life for Jesus. If we would just start right there, walk in love. I mean, picture it. Look down at your feet. Just everywhere that you step, if you walked in love, if you operated in love, be it on your job, with your family, with your friends, when you're out and about, when you're riding your bike like Jake through the parking lot, in love. Man, wouldn't that be a wonderful place to start? In love, right? Walk in love. I believe that when Paul writes this, when he's writing this letter, and he gets to this part where he's talking about slaves and masters, it is still fresh on his mind, fresh from his pen. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love. Servants, serve as you would Christ. So it says in this passage, serve as you would with Christ, no matter the atrocity of your situation or the feeling of just like there's no way to get out. There's no way, even systemically, that I can get out of the trap that I find myself in now, no matter what I do, to serve in love. And not only that, but to serve this part where he's talking about you're in the spot where you have someone who is lording over you, to serve that person, even if they don't treat you well, to serve them as you are serving Christ. This is deep, deep stuff here. Imitate and walk in love as you are walking and serving and loving Jesus himself. This is with family. This is with life. This is with any situation. Our calling is not to man. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. I'm going to go on and just bet that if you are honest this morning, you'll be able to raise your hand, and no matter how sweet, no matter how loving, no matter how caring you are, I'm going to ask you to be honest this morning. Who out here has someone in your life, maybe even that you can give a name to, that you just don't like at all? Anybody? Jeff and me, the only one. Jason's in. All right, now anything I see. Okay, now you're feeling safe. I got some people. In fact, I don't like you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just pointing at somebody that they know I love them. Right, like, but we all have that. We all have those people that just irritate the fire out of us. That if all bets were off, if we didn't know anything about this, instead of loving and serving, you just walk up and smack them in the face. I mean, just be honest. Like, that's what we want to do, earthly and physically, in our kingdom or man's kingdom. But man, doesn't it kind of flip when it says that everybody you encounter, that you ought to walk as an imitator of God, to walk in love, and to serve as unto Christ. Now, let me ask you this. You take that person that immediately, as I say, man, you don't like them. You're thinking about the cubicle next to you at work, or the tent down from your camp, or the house next door, or whatever your situation is. You're thinking of that person right now. What if instead of viewing them as that person, you began to view them as Christ and say, whatever I do to this person, I'm going to serve them as unto Christ. Does that feel difficult or not? And it just sometimes to me, it just feels like that's an impossibility. Here's what I love to say on this. In the grand scheme of things, it is not natural. It is not natural for me as a human being to walk up to someone I don't like. In fact, maybe even there's seeds of hate or anger or bitterness or hurt or unforgiveness. And to walk up to that person and say, man, I'm going to serve this person unto Christ. It is so unnatural to do that. But I praise God that it is supernatural. If you have the Spirit of God living inside of you because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, and by the way, and going into Charlie's message last week, you've armored up with the whole armor of God, man, it all of a sudden becomes really simple. Because you look at that person, you say, in Christ, I can love this person. In Christ, I can love this person. In Christ, man, here's the God that you serve. Anybody know the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, right? I mean, we've heard about that a bajillion times. I am so grateful that God has laid it on my heart to share it to you for the bajillionth and first. But I want you to listen. As you say, man, I can't do it. It's not possible. I don't like that person. You don't know what they've done to me. They've betrayed me. They've hurt me. Go back and read the timeline of Jesus washing feet. He goes and he washes the disciples' feet, and then he comes to a man named Judas and says, now go do this thing you got to do. In other words, betray me. I know you're about to go rat me out. I know you're about to go do this. Go do it. The timeline shows that Jesus arms himself with a basin and a towel. He gets on his knees and he comes to a man named Judas. And I've said this before, Keith would have taken that dirty, I would have made sure that Judas was the last. He was the 12th. He was at the end of the line. It's got all this dirty foot water in this thing. I would have dumped it on his head, right? Just plain, now go do what you got to do, right? You're a dirty dog. Go do what you got to do. That's PG version. But The Savior bends down. Each disciple, John, the beloved disciple, Peter, the one who he says, man, your confession of me being the Christ, on that rock I'll build the church. All of these disciples. And then he gets to Judas and he washes his feet and says, now go do the thing you got to do. He didn't treat him any differently. In fact, check this out. Chris Sunday, this is getting back to them old days where we was in some of them goofy dramas. I don't know if they got tapes of them things, but the Lord's Supper, you got all these disciples sitting up there. And it's straight from Scripture where they take, and all of them say that when Jesus says, one of you is about to betray me, all of them look at one another and say, who is it? Who is it? Like, is it you? Is it me? Right? What that tells me is not only in that moment did Jesus choose to love Judas the same, but the whole time he's been around him, he treated him the same, so that when people said there's a betrayer, if it would have been me, they would say, I can tell you who it is. You seen how he treats Judas? He can't stand that dude. Every time he walks by him, he'll cuss at him. Every time he walks by him, he gives him a dirty look. He loved them the same, so that when it happened and he said, there's a betrayer amongst you, they said, who could it be? He loved them all the same. I'm telling you, we have the Spirit of God in us, the fruit of the Spirit, which comes from Jesus, and this whole armor of God that if we walk to people in love and we imitate God, even the people you don't like, you can serve in Christ. And that is what Paul is saying here. Even in a moment of slavery and bondage, and someone is lording over you that shouldn't be, treat them as Christ. That's deep. I don't understand how to do that other than the Spirit of God. It is not natural, but it is supernatural. Life isn't fair, and our world is broken. And I want to tell you, I know that some of us, I have felt it myself, feel at times the deck is stacked against us. But none of this overrides the calling. None of this overrides the calling to be an imitator of God and walk in love. Now, I want to tell you here, I have always hated this passage with the idea of relating it somehow, and I've heard people do it. And I'm about to do the same thing, so I just want to be very honest with you. I hate the comparison of getting to an idea of slaves and masters that should have never, ever in any point in human history happened, and somehow compare this to where you go to work or an employer situation. I get that it's not the same, but I want to tell you here that there are some of us that have bad employment situations, bad bosses, bad people that are over us. And I want to tell you this, that in the grand scheme of things, you do not work for that person. You work for as unto the Lord, is what Paul says. That no matter what you do, what service you do as to the Lord and not to man. Anybody want some good news this morning? Man, in all that's going on in our world, there's bad news aplenty. Amen. But here's the good news. Listen to this. Your God is keeping score. You may feel like, even in the secret and the quiet, when you serve somebody that nobody's there to see it, you didn't post about it online, you didn't have an audience to see your good deed. But here's what it says. Listen to this. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive it back from the Lord. He's keeping score. He's watching. He's got it. He's got you. That it could be that this deed that you've done that nobody ever knows about in human history. No one will ever know your name. No one's ever going to know my name. But that one day when we stand before God, He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I saw the way you loved others. I saw the way that you went to someone you didn't even like. And you went and you loved them as you loved me. I want to tell you, not everyone loves their job. Not everyone loves their life situation, their neighbors, their community. But think about this, as to the Lord and not to man. I want to tell you, there's no more powerful statement than that today, that everything we encounter, everything as to God, trusting Him that He is keeping score. Can I share this one little nugget with you? And I'm going to close with the final greeting here that Paul gives us in Ephesians. When you encounter someone that you choose to walk in love and love them as you are loving Christ and serve them as you are serving Christ, can I tell you this? That, my friend, is worship. You're saying, I'm laying everything I have down. And Jesus, you're going to have to come through on this. You're going to have to come through for me to serve this person. It's worship. We get the tendency, and Jesse's out of town this week, man. I hate it because I love it when he leads worship for us. Like, we think, though, that that's the only way we do it is that we sing or that we raise our hand or we listen to me. We worship when we lay down ourselves and say, enough of me. I'm going to try to love like Jesus does right here. No matter who that person is, no matter how they've wronged me, that is worship. Laying down yourself and picking up that fruit of the Spirit. So I'll read this, the final greeting, and then we'll close. And I'm super excited about the next series that we'll be in. I'll share more on that in just a moment. But here's what he says in the final greetings that he gives the church. Peace be to you in love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love, listen to the final words of Ephesians, incorruptible. Listen to what he says. Peace be to you. Anybody watch the news lately and think our world needs a little peace, right? He says this, peace be to you in love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. For simpletons like me, I looked up the definition of incorruptible. Listen to what it says. I know this is simple, but man, it is beautiful. Incorruptible is not subject to death, decay, and is everlasting. Listen to what he says. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus. Anybody want to say they love Jesus this morning publicly? If you love Jesus, that love is incorruptible. So I want to read it in this way. The love of Jesus Christ is not subject to death or decay, and it is everlasting. Anybody want to give an amen to that? No situation, no job, no person can corrupt what God through His Son has made incorruptible. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, no matter what man does, and we would admit that we are wicked, all of us know our own thoughts and things at times that we have, much less all that is going on in our world right now. But your love is incorruptible. It is not subject to death. It is not subject to decay. It is not subject to war. It is not subject to rumors of war. It is not subject to our situation. It is incorruptible. There is nothing that can touch the love of Jesus Christ. I've got good news this morning, Father, that each and every person here that has put their faith and their trust in you has the fruit of the Holy Spirit inside of them, the power of God, the Holy Spirit living inside of them, so that incorruptible love is flowing through our veins this morning. And all we have to do, Ephesians has taught us, imitate you. Go back and read the Gospels, my friend. Go back and read how Jesus interacted with people. That is what our world needs. They don't need better policies or politics or this and that. All of those things are temporary. All those things can be addressed. All those things are earthly. But we need to walk in love, no matter who we encounter, that we encounter them in the incorruptible love and name of Jesus Christ. That is revolutionary. Jesus, help us in that. It is not natural, but we praise you, God, that it is supernatural, that you can do that through people like me and my friends here this morning. Nothing special about us except that we have bowed the knee and said, Jesus, we believe. We need you. We need a Savior. For that, an incorruptible love has taken over our soul. Let us spread that to other people. That is what this whole thing is about. That is why that at the moment we believe, you don't just zap us up and take us to heaven with you. We have work here to do, and that is to be about spreading your love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, and your truth, that your love, no matter what happens in a corruptible world, is incorruptible without chance of death or decay, and it is an everlasting love. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we love you. We do pray for our world right now. All of the things that are going on, each and every individualist, Jesus, we just need you. We need you to reach hearts in all the chaos that is in our world these days. We just pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, here in just a second, I'm going to say something before whoever's going to do our letters to give out supplies. I just want to tell you something that I don't know that I've seen this week. Has anybody on any social media or talking with a friend or whatever, anybody seen anything that says pray for Ukraine? Anybody seen that, right? It's kind of the buzz thing right now. I want to throw something else out. Let's pray for Russia, okay? I can tell you this. There are soldiers, I'm sure, that are on the Russian side of things that do not want to be in war. There are going to be families that are torn apart for generations. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for the world. Let's pray for everyone. Praying for Ukraine is awesome. I am heartbroken over what's going on over there. But pray for everybody. Everybody get behind that. Every person around, let's pray. And let's pray that they're encountered with that incorruptible love we talked about, okay? Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our world. Let's pray for everything that's going on. And I'm telling you, we got the answer. Just walk around in love. Imitate Him, okay? Just one person at a time, a smile, a holding a door for something. Do something in love. And I'm telling you, it won't return void. Everybody in with that this morning? Let's do that real quick. Father, we just pray in our world, everybody, not just Ukraine, we pray for everybody. That each and every individual walking this planet right now is somehow supernaturally encountered by your love, by your grace. And I'm going to tell you, one way that happens is by believers that are in Ukraine, that are in Russia, that are in the United States, that are everywhere, that are putting one foot in front of the other right now and encountering people with the incorruptible love of Jesus. That is revolutionary. So help us in that. Help us right here. In our city, in our county, in our state, in our nation, and in our world, to be imitators of you, God, and to walk in love. Jesus, we need you. Our world needs you. We have the answer. We have the truth. We have the hope, the incorruptible love of Jesus. Let us lead the way. If everyone is with me in that, just let them say, in Jesus' name, amen.